You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, we are back for another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. I was all set to just give you guys my part two of my conversation with Todd Dybas about the Wizards, Paul George, the draft, and so on. Plus, we talked with Ernie Grunfeld today on Wednesday. I was going to play you that audio, and I will. But right before I started to do this podcast, the Wizards apparently are on the verge of making a trade. I've confirmed with a source that a report from Michael Scotto, I already forgot who he worked with, but Dan Feldman will tell me in a second. He reported that the Wizards are going to trade the 52nd overall pick to the Pelicans for Tim Frazier. It sounds like that is indeed in the process, according to a source. So, to give us some sense of what that means for the Wizards, I brought in our pal Dan Feldman from NBC Sports' Pro Basketball Talk, because Tim Frazier is a point guard, Dan. The Wizards really, really, really need a backup point guard behind John Wall. Question is he the answer, or is he just another in the long line of guys who are, but don't really do that much once they're here?
Well, let's start off with Michael Scotto of Basketball Insiders.
There you go. That's what I thought, but I was like, I'm going to brick this, so let me not butcher it.
I look at Tim Frazier as basically a Band-Aid, which is okay because the Wizards just bleed when John Wall goes to the bench. Like, he's on an expiring contract. You trade a draft pick, which is more of a future asset, for somebody who's probably more of a rental. I mean, the Wizards could always re-sign him, but they could have just signed him outright next year. Like, basically look at this as a rental, but that's okay. And it's an important offseason for the Wizards. We've talked about this before with John Wall eligible for a contract extension. This is a clear sign to John Wall. Hey, you said the bench was the problem. Okay, we're going to go upgrade the bench. It's going to come at a little cost to us, but we're going to do this for you. We're committed to doing right by you. And in the sense it's a sign of that, I think it's important. In the sense that I think Tim Frazier is a better point guard than Brandon Jennings was, than Trey Burke was. I think it's a nice upgrade for a very low cost.
So just looking at the basic data here on Mr. Frazier. And by the way, before I forget, Dan, thank you very much for jumping in. I texted you just like with a couple minutes ago. You're like, I'm in, super excited to talk about this big, massive trade. So I appreciate the I appreciate that. All right.
Well, I'll disclose what I really said, which was only for you. I've turned down other interviews today, but when I get to talk to you, it's always worth it.
You are way too kind. All right. So Tim Frazier has been in the league since 2014-15, played college at Penn State, 6'1", 170. He's been on a couple teams, but he's been with the Pelicans the last 2 years. Last season, he averaged 5.2 assists in 23 minutes. That's not bad. He's also, though, only shot 31% from three. The previous year, it was only 16 games, he shot 41%, but based on his career, 31 seems more in line. Somebody was just telling me that basically what teams try to do is, you know, go under pick and rolls, dare him to shoot, all that kind of deal. What's your sense, I guess, from that aspect of it? How much of a liability is he, you know, left alone out there on the perimeter?
Yeah, he's not a good shooter. He's not a great shooter. Like, that's not what you want him doing, but he's capable enough where, like, he can sometimes make teams pay. I don't think he's going to change the strategy of how teams defend him, but he can be okay enough there, and he still does a good enough job of penetrating, and part of what makes him good is when he penetrates, he's not always looking to score. He's a good passer out of his penetrations, you know, the drive and kick type of game. So he doesn't necessarily need to get the most space and the best position to get up a shot. If he drives enough to get the defense tilted or looking his way, sometimes he can make the pass. He's no world beater, and in part it's because he doesn't have that reliable jumper, and this is how teams defend him. But he's solid. He's fine.
Last year I had been told that one of the reasons the Wizards went for Trey Burke was they were just looking for somebody to fill in like 10 minutes a game behind John Wall. So they didn't want to make a major financial investment for that. Now, obviously it cost them in terms of what they ended up getting out of Trey Burke, not to mention a second round pick that's like way down the line. This second round pick is right now. Can Tim Frazier, if they still have that same sort of view, you think Tim Frazier, I mean, it sounds like you do, but that Tim Frazier, those 10 to 12 minutes a game behind John Wall, he comes in, it'll be good enough?
Yeah, I do. I also, I guess, full disclosure, I thought Trey Burke would be good enough. But Trey Burke, it's not so much the ability with him. It was in part like he was in a screwy place in his head. Like, he's always seen himself as a NBA player with much higher stature, and he hasn't gotten there for a variety of reasons, and I think his head has been in a bad place. I don't know if he'll ever recover from that. Tim Frazier is very different. Tim Frazier has spent time in the D League. He's worked his way up here. Like, he strikes me as somebody who is willing to accept a role, who understands his role, and can play in it, and is not going to have those type of problems. So I see this as a little more secure.
And then I guess just on this, I did an earlier podcast a week or so ago, looking at free agent point guards specifically. And, you know, part of my saying was, look, the Wizards obviously don't have a lot of money to spend. If you look at some rankings out there, I'm looking at one from Hoops Hype right now. Brandon Jennings comes in as like the 16th best free agent point guard, quibble or not, but that's, you know, that's ahead of Ramon Session, Langston Galloway, Sergio Rodriguez, Shelvin Mack. I guess I'm just wondering, does Tim Frazier, if he had been a free agent, you see him sort of being, I guess you think he's better than Brandon Jennings, so you think he would be ranked ahead of that? Is ultimately sort of just comparable, they just made that move now and didn't, you know, not screw around with free agency?
So I guess I'm going to have to just reject the premise of the question, sort of, because this is how I looked at it for the Wizards in free agency was, man, if we're going to give two stipulations. One, they're going to keep Otto Porter and re-sign him no matter what that costs. And two, they're not going to pay the luxury tax. And so when you do those two things, you're probably going to have to shed salary. And I thought there was a chance that the Wizards just wouldn't address backup point guard, that they'd give it to Satoransky, whether he's ready or not, and hope they could get by, or whoever they could get the best player for the minimum when they're filling out their roster. Because they're in a mode where after re-signing Porter, they're probably going to have to shed salary. So I didn't even look at those guys as too viable, unless depending on how the salary shedding went, whether it's Gortat or Mahimi or Nicholson or whatever combination of players to shed salary. Or I guess not Nichols anymore, Jason Smith. So whatever combination to shed salary. So I never really, I always thought there was a possibility they didn't address this. This was a very cleverish way of addressing their need at backup point guard, because Tim Frazier makes only $2 million. He's going to be way cheaper than anybody competent they could have gotten on the market. But it does still add that crunch where they're going to have to shed salary to avoid the tax if they're also going to keep Otto Porter. That's an open question how they do that.
So, I mean, as we've established on a previous podcast, you are definitely way more of a salary cap guy than I am. So right now you think that if they keep Otto Porter for whatever the sort of number is, that it's hard to gauge exactly, maybe it's 100 million. So if it gets to that point, you think that they would be over what, the luxury tax if they keep Tim Frazier?
So I think they'd be over the luxury tax or right around it, because we don't know exactly where it's going to be set yet, even before they traded for Tim Frazier. So Tim Frazier just adds an extra squeeze, but I do think they would have been over it anyway. And so they were going to have to, if they wanted to avoid the tax, make a deal anyway. This just puts a little more pressure on them to make a deal. It means they have to shed a little more salary. If the Wizards are of the belief that, look, they had to acquire a competent backup point guard. They couldn't just leave it to Satoransky and say, we hope he's ready. Like, you needed somebody you know could handle it or strongly believe can handle it. Frazier is as cheap as you're going to get.
I mean, I've been sort of saying, I didn't have a problem if they brought in somebody who wouldn't necessarily overshadow Satoransky, but is there to step in if he really can't go, and seems like this could be that. Because neither one of them shoot well from three, though, it's a little hard to see how they would play together, but I guess, you know, we'll get to that if need be. Lastly, the Wizards have been trading picks all over the place the last few years. This is the three times in the last 4 years they've given up their first-round pick. Now, 2 years in a row, they enter a draft with zero picks. Tim Frazier is only has 1 year left on his contract. From that perspective, when you factor in that they giving up the second round pick, and you never know if the 52nd pick even makes the team at all. And last year they had three undrafted rookies make the team. you view it from that perspective of the pick itself, as where how do you come down on that if he's only for 1 year and the fact that they've been trading a bunch of picks lately?
I just got interject. You mentioned those three undrafted rookies. Like, what an absurd thing that those three undrafted rookies made the team. And I don't know what they're contributing. It's just such a weird point.
And made it for like one of the few teams without a D League team or now a G League team. So they couldn't even send them down there for that purpose. But okay, anyway.
Right. And so, yeah, no, it's nice to have the number 52 pick. Like, it is something they are giving up. There is value in the number 52 pick. I just think there's so much more value for the Wizards where they are right now in having a competent backup point guard next year. This is a summer where John Wall could sign an extension. Like, you need to prove that to him. This team could win a couple playoff series next year. A big reason they didn't advance further this year is because they got outscored so badly when John Wall sat, to the point where John Wall was in this weird conundrum where it was both he didn't play enough and played too much because he got worn down and was tired by the end. There was no answer there for the Wizards. Frazier can alleviate some of those things. And so, yeah, Frazier is a Band-Aid, but the Wizards have the type of wound where a Band-Aid solution is okay for now.
Wow, I like that Band-Aid in the wound. All right, well, cool, man. I said I'd only keep you for a couple minutes. I don't want to be a big liar. Follow Dan on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Anything else you want? I mean, you're welcome to stay as long as you want. But anything else you want to mention, discuss, anything you're working on, anything with the NBA that's happened in the last few days that you feel you need to vent about?
I'm real excited for the draft, and I'll have my draft board, my tiered draft board on Pro Basketball Talk tomorrow morning.
All right. Well, I will definitely look forward, even if the Wizards are giving us nothing to consider. But what are you going to do? I'm used to this now. All right, man. Dan, definitely appreciate it, man. We will talk soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on.
All right, man. See ya. All right. And that was some hot off the press reaction there with myself and Dan Feldman. Always a pleasure that when he can stop by. Literally, I'm talking to you guys. I guess the first report came out about an hour ago from when I'm talking to you this second. I was able to confirm it a little bit after seeing the report, and I've already tried to check in with a few different people from around the league. Somebody who I checked in very briefly with Jake Madison, who does the Locked On Pelicans podcast. We traded a couple emails, and he may be able to come on the podcast tomorrow or in the next couple of days to discuss. But basically, his take on Frazier can absolutely facilitate an offense, can run an offense. Shooting, though, is what he pointed out as a concern because he's not a threat from three, and teams will just go under screens to take away the role in the pick and roll situation. So that's that. Our friend Todd Dybas pointed out that when you look at when you look at Frazier's net ratings, he's got for his career an offensive rating of 103, his defensive rating 109. That's not good. Collectively, that's not ideal. So there's that. I guess to a degree, I could say, and I also had another NBA insider type, somebody who really studies the league, when I asked sort of thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways, said thumbs up, but I think, with sort of the caveat of, don't go crazy, but for what they needed and for what they gave up, probably a reasonable enough move. So there's that. Give me a minute, I guess, to some degree, or give any of us, everybody take a breath before we give a final assessment of this. I think at the end of the day, it's a reasonable addition for what they needed, but that's factoring in the low bar of Brandon Jennings and Trey Burke from what we just witnessed a year ago. And, as Dan po just pointed out, who knows if the Wizards would have been able to afford too much in free agency rather than taking that risk that all of a sudden even some deeper backups are costing more than desired. They jumped in there and got a guy who they think can help. The constantly trading of picks will eventually lead to problems. We'll see when this catches up to the Wizards. To some degree, giving up a third first round pick in 4 years, I think may, I emphasize may catch up to them a little bit this offseason because they don't have a lot of assets to work with. I mean, of course, Bogdanovich was helpful during the time he was here, and maybe he stays, but being realistic, I don't know if that's going to happen. Now, speaking of Bogdanovich and the point guard situation, earlier today on Wednesday, the media spoke with Ernie Grunfeld, Wizard team president, following their final pre-draft workout. It was sort of a spontaneous discussion in the sense that they didn't put out a press release. We didn't quite know, but, you know, those of us who showed up were able to talk to him and ask a bunch of different questions. Those included questions about the G League, which was announced today. I'll put video up if I haven't already by the time you hear this up on Locked On Wizards of that answer. I'll play for you guys now a few other responses that Grunfeld made, including just his thoughts sort of. This is the first time we've talked to him in some time, certainly since the end of the season and beyond that. So a little bit to hear how he thought, what he thought of the season and the playoffs. He was asked about John Wall's contract situation. He was asked about his own contract situation, which is probably the most interesting response of the whole, of everything you're about to hear, especially for those who I know are frustrated with the Grunfeld era, which has gone on for a bit now. And then I asked him, the last thing you'll hear is me asking him about the backup guard situation. Does that need to be addressed? I'm not going to promise you any insightful answers here or anything terribly enlightening, but you'll get to hear it straight from the man himself, Mr. Grunfeld. And then I'll come back at the end of that. And what was originally going to plan here was Todd Dybas and I talking about Paul George and a whole bunch of other things. So here we go. The team president himself, Ernie Grunfeld.
We have our own team, but we may have some two-way contracts this year also.
We haven't talked to you since the season concluded. So what was your view of how the season went, how the playoffs in particular went, and then to fast-forward you to what's going on this week? Obviously, the Eastern Conference and the league as a whole is, for lack of a better term, kind of going bonkers at the moment. What's your view of those three things? Your regular season playoffs, and then moving forward to here?
Well, obviously, we had one of the best seasons we've had here in a long time. I think we're pleased with that. I think our players really developed. We still have a very young core, a very young nucleus, and our core players have been in three playoffs. We're one of only four teams in the league that's been in the second round three out of the last 4 years. So we feel good about that, and we feel real good about our future and the development of our young players. Scotty came in and did an outstanding job, but we're not satisfied. We want to continue to improve, and we want to continue to do better moving forward.
One of your core players is a restricted free agent coming up here, Otto. How do you kind of view him priority-wise?
Well, we've said all along we want to keep our core of young players together, and Otto is an important part of what we're trying to do. And when free agency starts, we'll see what we can do and work things out and keep them here.
How does Bogdanovich, another restricted free agent, how do you kind of view where he's at with what you guys are trying to do here?
Well, we're going to try to see what we can do with him also.
How, go back to something he said. How would you describe this offseason so far with all the trades that have happened and then all the trades that look like they could potentially happen?
Well, this is typical for this time of year. Around the draft, things always happen. Draft picks get moved around and a lot of rumors start going around. So I think it's a very exciting time of year for fans, for players themselves, and for the teams. You know, this is the time that you can make some things happen.
Do you expect to talk to John about a possible extension this summer?
At the appropriate time, we'll sit down with John. You know, we want John to finish his career here. He's our franchise guy, and him and Bradley have done a great job of improving and leading this ball club. So we want John to finish his career here.
And there's been, it's kind of unclear, I think, in public about your contract status. Can you enlighten us as to when it ends, if it was extended recently or anything?
I'm under contract, yes.
Until?
Until I'm not.
As you look ahead to tomorrow night, what are your priorities, not only just in the draft, but also free agency to improve this team?
Well, as you know, we have the 52nd pick in this draft. We've gone about the same way we always have. We've done our homework on all the players, did our background checks, and we'll see what becomes available for us at 52. I'm going to make some calls. Possibility of possibly moving up and see what's available to us, but we'll take the best player available at 52 if we don't do anything else.
What's your view of the East right now? Everybody still kind of feels it's LeBron, and everyone's trying to catch up to him. And at some point, he may age if he's actually human, and that sort of thing. And people are wondering if Boston is just kind of long playing this and waiting for him to slide back. So how do you view the conference as a whole with LeBron and company at the top?
Well, obviously Cleveland is the defending champs in the Eastern Conference, and everybody's trying to catch up to them. But that's why you play the games. You can't predict what's going to happen. We feel good about our team. We feel good about what we have. We want to keep improving, and we want to make improvements. But we have to be concerned with what we do and not worry too much about what anybody else is doing. You know, some teams are making trades to get better. Some teams are trying to rebuild, and that's just a normal course of business during the summer.
To sort of piggyback on what Chase was asking, is there any one thing that you look at going into this offseason as a particular need or area that you'd like to get this team stronger?
Well, there's all kinds of needs and areas, but we'll keep that internally, and we'll talk internally about where we want to improve and where we think we're strong at. I think player development is always very important, and try to grow and get better, because we do have a very young team. And some of our young players, this is a very important summer for them to improve and grow and show us what they can do, see if they can become a part of our rotation or they can come in and help us.
To that point, do you see, looking back last year in the playoffs, particularly against Boston, that the backup guard situation may have led to that season not going the way you wanted, and something to get better at this year?
Well, I think we want to improve at every position if we can. You know, I think every team does. I think we have a lot of good players on our team, and they're still, like I said, very young, and there's still room for growth, internal growth. And we had young players that maybe didn't get as many minutes as they would have liked, and they're going to have to earn those minutes. And then, of course, we'll look around to see how else we could get better in certain positions.
All right, there's team president Ernie Grunfeld. Probably need more time to decipher some of the things he said. Like I said, a lot of non-answers to some degree. Ernie Grunfeld is a very good politician, doesn't show his cards easily and very rarely, so he's very good at giving him the non-answers, and we got a lot of that today. I thought his contract response was the most interesting part, in the sense that, you know, as Todd asked that question, if you didn't know that was Todd, we don't really know what the deal with that is. We don't have a sense of how long his contract is, and, you know, while I've been somebody who has defended Grunfeld to a degree over the years, and you know, even with some of the moves that helped assemble this 49-win team, it is bizarre, I think, for all of us, but especially for those who are on the opposite end of where I'm sort of coming from, who are truly frustrated with his era, that you don't know how long he's under contract, because if he's under contract for 1 year or 10, that could definitely change how we all view the situation in terms of what he's trying to accomplish, what the team's trying to accomplish, and so on. In any event, the other thing I'll just mention, since I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned before, but his response to my question about Bojan Bogdanović seems a little, I don't know if seems telling is right, but kind of seems telling. He at least gave some, he assembled a few sentences together to discuss Otto Porter's situation. Obviously, Porter a bigger deal than Bogdanović. I think he said like 6 words about Bogdanović there. Seeing as how we haven't even talked to him since the end of the season, potentially he could have said, hey, you know what, Bogdanović was a big help for us over the last 2.5 months of the season. We really need his production off the bench. You know, if we could figure out a way to keep him, it would be great for our team. We really could use, we really need his shooting off the bench. But, you know, whatever. Even that isn't saying that much, but I don't know. It is what it is. So, enough of that. We've got a lot to discuss here today. I want to get into the rest of my conversation with Todd Dybas. If you missed it, part one, you can find on iTunes or Stitcher, anywhere else you do your podcasting. I don't remember, honestly, in this section how much we talked about the draft, but whatever we talked about there, I guess it doesn't mean that much. The Wizards could potentially trade back into the draft. Grunfeld, when asked about the 52nd pick, you know, could go up, could go down, anything is possible. He had said, well, they've made a trade, maybe they move back in. Of course, don't fret to a certain degree. The Wizards have, of course, last year had 3 undrafted rookies make the team, for better or for worse. I'm just saying they're willing to do that route. Maybe that's how things go again this year. But anyway, here we go. The rest of my conversation with Todd Dybas. Right off the bat, we get into the whole idea of whether Paul George to the Wizards is even worth discussing. Here we go. All right, now, earlier today, again on Monday, David Aldridge in his big, fat, interesting morning tip thing that he does on NBA.com. It's always very interesting, very long. In there, he had a section that said that the Wizards were interested in Paul George, but it was immediately thrown with a bunch of cold water on top of it, with basically saying, yeah, but they're not going to get him. Because, I mean, realistically, they're not going to trade Bradley Beal, and what else are they going to do? Which is right. Sort of made me be like, all right, great, well then, you know. It was really good for all the people who were doing the blogging and aggregating, because, like, oh, good headline, but it's a big nothing burger, ultimately, as it stands. And I only bring this up because this is what we're sort of looking at with the Wizards. It would be great if they could get Paul George. The rental aspect aside, I just mean, you know, hey, if you can get him, but I don't even see how they could. If Indiana called and said, all right, we'll trade Paul George for Bradley Beal, and Paul George gives you the info, like, hey, I might stay. Any way in hell you would do that?
No, I don't think so, because Bradley Beal has no choice. And I, you know, you feel like Paul George has been lining this up for a long time. He wants to go to Los Angeles for whatever particular reasons. He wants to play on a team where no one else plays any defense at all, and they have a bunch of young guys who, for me personally, the jury is still very out on those guys, D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle and company. So, and go play with Nick Young. Enjoy. It doesn't make any sense to me. One, the rental aspect, absolutely not. Multiple years, well, then you're talking about something. But if it costs you Beal, then what's the point? You're sending out Beal for someone who is better, but how much better, and what kind of difference is that going to make overall? It doesn't make any sense. Someone, not to mention, it's not just the money that you've invested in Beal at this point. He was a major pick for you. You got him over the leg problems. You developed him all this time. He has, we've seen, pretty good, at least improved chemistry with John, and we've gotten through all their relationship stuff. And
yeah, we're not.
And you give him the extension, and then you're gonna trade him.
Yeah,
for,
you're not trading Beal. That
at worst a rental, and then God knows what.
And by the way, Bradley Beal, for the most part, kicked butt in the playoffs. He's also 4 years younger than Paul George, give or take, right? Something like that.
Yeah, no, 4 years. Yep. 27 and 23, I think.
And if, you know, he can stay healthy, always the big ifs with him historically. But there's no reason, like, when you look at the Wizards and think, well, how can the Wizards get better? That guy. Because if John Wall, I mean, Jerry and I were talking about this, John Wall, we're not saying he's at his ceiling, but you can maybe see the ceiling from where he's at. Bradley Beal, I have no idea where this is going. I mean, he's got so much more room to grow, and we saw a big leap. So there's 0.0% chance, as much as I love Paul George, that I'd even think about trading Beal to get him. Now, hypothetically, I hate when people are even hypothetically imagining, if the Wizards got Paul George, how good would they be? There's no point in imagining that if we don't say what you're going to give up. Yes, if you could put Paul George on the team with all the guys they have, you know, fantastic, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, if hypothetically Indiana said, look, we can't get any good deals, here's what we'll do. We'll take either Gortat, well, to say Gortat, I would assume they wouldn't take Mahimi, but, you know, who knows? He at least played there before. We'll take Gortat, you got to give us Kelly Oubre, and you got to give us your 2018 first-round pick for the rental of Paul George. Would you do that?
I think I would do that, yes.
Yeah, I think now, but okay, but so hypothetically though, okay, so let's just say you would do that. Does that move right there put you above Cleveland?
I think it gives you a much greater chance to be competitive with Cleveland. I mean, that situation pushes Mahimi into the starting lineup and pushes Otto to the woebegone bench. So you, assuming, I mean, you taking a big gamble that Mahimi is healthy, you're taking a big gamble that Okefu or whatever you come up with in the offseason can be a capable backup center, and that Jason Smith will again bounce between 4 and 5 when necessary. But then, yeah, you can have Otto coming off the bench, and you can help bridge minutes with a very, very good player on the floor at all times between Wall, Beal, and Paul George. I would do that. I think that makes you super competitive, especially considering how handcuffed you are financially and roster-wise at this point. I mean, what else can you do that would push you to that level for just next year? Not much. So that, to me, would be the move. But from Indiana's perspective, I mean, how dry would the market have to be for them to even consider that package for that guy? The it's an interesting double-edged sword that Paul George presented to them of saying, I'm trying to be honest here. I'm not coming back, so I'm trying to let you know ahead of time. But then once it gets out, everybody else knows Paul George doesn't want to be there. So, you know, we're going to slow play this in negotiation, certainly. No one's going to jump up there. It's just like a house, you know. You're not going to offer list price when the note below it says, we're desperate to sell because we have no other choice, or else we're going to be screwed in a year. So it's interesting. I mean, I would do that for sure. You probably can assume why I would do that. But, yeah, I think that would be fascinating.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that would be the ultimate scenario. But like you said, I can't comprehend why Indiana would do that. I mean, let's just say the Wizards offer that. Indiana goes to Cleveland and say, look, we're doing this unless you give us Kevin Love. And if you're Cleveland, you'd have to say fine. Like, I don't get what. So yeah. So So that would be. So that would be that. So yeah, I mean, we'll talk more. By the way, Jerry, he didn't just commit. He openly said he.
Who?
The guy who writes for the other paper in town. He said he wants to come back before free agency on the podcast to talk about his plan for free agency with the Wizards. He made that commitment. Do you want to make that commitment as well?
At this point, no, I cannot commit. I am, what is it, Monday? I am 6 days away from 5 weeks of vacation.
Oh, my Lord.
I will be committing to napping, playing pickup hoops, trying not to be bored, consuming alcohol at any time of day.
It sounds like
I think that's about all I can go in on.
It almost sounds like you're going to summer league with me. Come on.
That's not true. But who knows? I mean, my travels may take me from here to Las Vegas, coincidentally.
That would be fantastic.
And unbeknownst to me.
Unbeknownst to you. It's even more fun when it's unbeknownst. All right, but it is the week of the draft. We'll save, you know, who knows? Maybe when you're bored at one point, you'll be like, all right, screw it. Let's talk about the Wizards. But the draft is this week. The Wizards, if you didn't already know, people, they don't have a first-round pick. They sent that to Brooklyn for Bojan Bogdanović. All they have is the 52nd pick. And I say all. Let's remember, last year they had 0 picks. So
they're moving up.
Yeah, so the 52nd pick seems reasonable, and last year 3 undrafted rookies made the team, so seems like a reasonable chance that this pick could get there. On the flip side, Aaron White, it was revealed this month, he's going back overseas for a third straight year. So a second round pick may or may never play for the Wizards. You never know how these things go. I don't know how much you've looked at their options at 52. I don't know if you even give a crap in terms of saying, well, they should get this guy because it's such a, who the hell knows who's going to be there and what the Wizards are doing, and do they want to just take a guy for that Aaron White stash situation or who knows what. But if they're doing it for now, do you have any, if Ernie Grunfeld is listening, I'm sure he is, do you have any advice for the Wizards with the 52nd pick based on this team, where they stand, what you would do with that pick?
It has to be, number one, a point guard, or number two, a wing of some kind. So a shooting wing, preferably, because that's the kind of guy who can actually have some impact when he's surrounded by
these other guys. So the other core players, if he is mixed in with them, not someone who we think is going to be a shooting capable wing, not someone who is making threes for 3 weeks during the season, and then everybody starts talking about that he's good at shooting, and then he shoots 29% for the season. Someone who can actually shoot. Someone we know is a guaranteed commodity. Because that's always the thing for me in the second round, is you're well past the guy who's going to do everything scenario, right? Typically. And so then you're looking for a singular, especially if you're already a good team, you're looking for a singular commodity from somebody. He's either, we know this guy's a shooter, we know this guy's a defender, we know whatever. This guy can run the offense and doesn't need the ball as a backup point guard. He's grown up and mature about it. He's going to be able, he'll have some growing pains in the NBA, but he's going to be able to do this pretty quick without it being a major headache. Those types of things. So that's what I would be after.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I've been zeroing in on Monty Morris from Iowa State. Your boy, Kevin Pelton, I know, is a big fan. Did you actually see Pelton's draft ratings or rankings or however he phrases it for this class?
I did not.
I couldn't even begin to tell you how he comes up with it. It's a lot of math. But
he has a lot of systems. Yeah. He developed his own evaluation system. This is the level of person we're dealing with here.
Yeah, it's very impressive. In any event, you look at it, and you know, I don't have it in front of me. And you know, the most of the obvious names, Markelle Fultz is ranked somewhere in the very high. You know, so and so on. But the one guy who, of the top, say, 30 players who really stood out was Morris, because he is, by most lists that you look at, and there's not nearly as many lists as on the NBA draft. This is actually another conversation we should discuss in a second. But in any event, he's like a guy who's like projected he could be there for the Wizards. So we're talking 52 or at least in the 40s. And he's got him like 12th. He's got him way up there. Really good stats across the board. He's very efficient, doesn't turn the ball over much. If the Wizards could get a guy like that, he's also a four-year player. You know, the Wizards, they not only need cheap contracts, they need guys who could potentially come in and help. And that would be the kind of guy who seemingly would be able to do that. But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you take the best situation you can get, even if that turns into another Aaron White, where at least you have the asset. And you move on. Like, it wouldn't even stun me if they actually trade Aaron White. I'm not reporting this, so nobody go nuts. I'm just saying, this is why keeping the second round pick, even if he never ever plays here, is better than selling it, of course, because now you have this thing, it's worth a salary or something. You can use it in a trade to help you do something else. So that's the type of little asset the Wizards have. They don't have big assets, but they have at least that little asset. So that's why the second round pick, my guess is, it's somebody who can either help them now or somebody that we won't be seeing anytime soon.
I would agree with all that. Yes. Don't sell the bleeping pick.
Yeah, no. And
don't do that.
And unless you just absolutely...
Never do that.
Right. And unless you just absolutely believe that there's some guy who everybody else is sleeping on that you legitimately think can be a top seven player one day, don't take a project either. I'm not saying that's like the worst thing in the world, but like, again, the Wizards need some people who can do stuff. I mean,
this is not project time anymore.
Right. I mean, we have no idea what Sheldon Mack, Daniel Oshefu, Chris McCullough, we have no idea what they'll get from it. It's possible none of them are on the team next year, right?
Sure.
At the same point, it's possible, I guess McCullough probably would be, but So they have to treat this pick like this pick is going to not just be on the team, but potentially be part of the top 10. So,
right.
That's about the only thing I would, my only advice I would give. Look for somebody who can help you now, like what you said, he does X, Y, or Z, or, you know, tell him to have a good year over in playing in the Bundesliga. I know that's not what it is, but whatever.
Bundesliga, yes.
If you could,
it's huge. Are you do you have a Bundesliga podcast planned?
Planned? No. But you never know, man.
Sounds like a gold mine.
You know what, man? I mean, soccer. I'm envious of all the people who've been for years have been soccer heads, and they're having to hear everybody tell them how much they hate their sport, and you know, there's really no product for them to watch consistently. And then they patiently wait. Now all of a sudden they can watch the EPL like whenever they want. They can watch, you know, Spain, Germany, all these tournaments because of, you know, the cable and all that. Like now, I mean, those people are in heaven.
Winning.
Absolutely.
What happened with Kyle Lowry? That he just tweeted, quote, "I don't do this ever, but don't believe what you hear, especially if it didn't come from me, and that BS for sure didn't come from me."
Boy, I have zero idea. I don't know. All I had heard with Kyle Lowry was because Philly acquired the pick to get Fultz, that they were a team that was supposedly considered to be in the mix for him, but...
It appears the aggregated rumor is that Kyle Lowry believed to have, quote, zero interest in returning to the Raptors.
Yes.
But, of course, this being the internet, I can't tell who actually reported this first, because it's just a bunch of aggregation.
Did sources
That's not crediting anyone else. Yeah, right. It's not crediting anyone else. They just took it, and now they're saying it. So that must be what he's responding to.
I was going to ask you, what do you hate more, the internet or something else? But I don't want to say the something else because I'll just get everybody in trouble. But the internet for these things, terrible. But Kyle, so I'm basically.
Oh, it came from Bruce Arthur. Very interesting.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he's pretty legit.
Yes. The Toronto Star, Bruce Arthur, wrote that Lowry is a free agent, and multiple league sources say the All-Star point guard has been grumbling about dissatisfaction with the Raptors for months. As of mid-May, other teams were being told Lowry had, quote, zero interest in returning to Toronto. And what's interesting is the person who I saw first retweet Lowry calling this BS was Bruce Arthur.
Interesting. I certainly have not read every columnist in the country, and I don't even read all the Bruce Arthur stuff just because he does a lot of hockey being in Canada, and I don't really care. But like, mm-hmm. when you factor in the writing and the tweeting, I kind of feel like Bruce Arthur might be the best columnist in North America.
Yeah, you know, he's a fantastic writer for sure. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's saying something. He's in another country primarily covering a sport I don't care about. And I'm saying that. That's pretty something. All right. Well, I definitely don't want to keep you long. It was I don't want to say it was a chore to get you on the podcast, but you know you got a lot going on over there in Shade Dibas before you venture off on your 5-week vacation.
Yeah, it's baseball season. We're trying to buy a house, trying to make some other things happen. So we're busy. The sun's out and we're busy, Ben.
Well, I'm gonna have to wait for Bruce Arthur to tweet out what he thinks those other things are that you're working on. Any last words? Because we may not talk to you again before the Wizards make a trade for Paul George. Or Jan Vesely, who knows? Any final thoughts? Anything you need to get off your chest, burning a hole inside you?
My final thought is that I believe the Wizards are going to have another workout on Wednesday. And when I was being told about said workout, I expressed that I don't care about the workouts. We need to hear from the general manager / team president at some point here. He talks less than any other general manager that I deal with across any other sports. So, and it's not like he's new. So Ernie Grunfeld needs to have a conversation with the media at some point, even though they only have the 52nd overall pick. There's a lot of stuff happening, and we need to hear from that guy.
Do we think it's happening Wednesday?
I don't know. I thought it might be, but I was told, workout.
What's more frustrating, if he doesn't have it or if he has it, but Ernie is very, 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 very good at saying nothing. So what's more frustrating?
That's fine. I'm always put him, even if he's going to say nothing, I blame the reporters, which in this case would include you and me, if you can't push him in a certain direction. But B, always get them on the record, even if he, no matter how bland the comments are, we should be asking Ernie directly, when is your contract up? And see what he says. Because nobody seems to know for sure if this is the last year, if he's already received an extension, what's going on. So this is the person in charge of the team, and a lot of people pay a lot of money. Well, some people pay a lot of money to come see this team on a regular basis, and they don't even know when the guy who is in charge of the team is under contract until. I understand that they're not going to give financial detail, but we at least the public should know, is he going to be making the decisions going forward, or is this his last summer? So this is not – in other places, that's not a major ask. So – but it has become one around this organization, and so I think that is – the priority, should he talk, because who cares what he says about the 52nd pick if we're talking before the draft?
No, I that's a great point. I was thinking the other day doing a podcast like in the off season of the sodium pentothal is like the truth serum, right? Supposedly.
That and vodka, yep.
So if you did the sodium pentothal podcast, what questions would, if you could ask them, anybody in town questions, what questions would you want to ask? I think that's a good one. As you said, silly as it is, it shouldn't be one you'd have to ask under duress. But nonetheless,
no,
it is like, okay, fine. We can't seem to get an easy answer out of it. And in fairness, I haven't pressed it that much, largely because I don't know. I guess at some point they wore me down, which is, I guess, sort of the whole point.
That's the point, right?
But that's a good question. What would be another? If it's this week, you'll be there. But if it's before free agency, you may not be there. What would be another good question we should ask?
I'm not giving you all my questions, man. Some aggregators might be listening to this.
That is a fair point. Well, but in that case, I'll just tell them. You told me earlier you wanted to know what is it about Brandon Jennings that you found so captivating that you needed to bring him on the team and play him? I guess this is a Scott Brooks question. Play him with John Wall incessantly.
Yeah, to play him with John Wall, I could moderately understand why you brought him on the team, but after having abundant evidence to stop doing what you're doing, that part I don't understand. But hey, that season's over.
Right. We're not here to talk about the past. All right, man. Well, I'll let you go. Good final thought there out of you. Appreciate all your help. I probably don't say it to you enough, let alone to the listeners, but having Todd, help do the podcast after virtually every single home game was an unbelievable help. There's no way I would have been able to do it by myself, and it certainly wouldn't have been nearly as interesting. So I'm glad. I really appreciate the fact that you did that. Glad you came on here, and now I'm done being nice to you for the rest of the week.
All fair.
But I can't believe you're not going to YouTube, by the way. This is really shameful.
We were, and then we're not. I don't know. As I told you, the FedEx influence on the whole situation was massive. I will say that, because I jumped at the tickets, and I was like, I even was willing to swallow that it was at FedEx. I was even willing to swallow the cost And then I was just like, I can't stand going to that place. It's going to be a terrible concert venue. So
all that's true. We'll but see. Earlier today, I believe we'll find out for sure. I believe I got hooked up with some parking, and that in and of itself changes the ball game. So we'll see how
it does. Fair.
We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks to you guys as always for listening to the Locked On Wizards podcast. We'll talk after the draft if nothing else. And until next time, see ya.
Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Long drive, long shot.